And the dash seven amendments would provide for the board being able to charge a non-refundable fee.
If I might add, Mr. Chair, the dash seven amendments were drafted at my request. They include the examination fees, and it also establishes the expenditure limitation at a level of $53,857 and provides for a general fund loan of $25,000, which will be repaid by the board at the end of, you know, by the end of the 1991 biennium.
That's quite a while.
That is typical for this type of a startup. Okay. They need some type of a cash reserve in case they should get into regulatory duties and just to allow for cash flow between licensing renewal periods. I might point out that the examination fee does not have a fee set in statute, which is different than the other fees, which you'll find in the bill on page page 4 and 5. The reason for that is that the national examination prices can vary, and without some flexibility in the statute to allow the board to come to the emergency board in the interim to change that cost of the exam, the board could in effect end up losing money if the national exam price to them were suddenly increased. So that is one slight inconsistency, if you will, with the other portions of the bill. One other thing, Senator Hannon may or may not want to talk to this. I didn't, at the time that I had these amendments drafted, I didn't know whether a suggested amendment to ORS 675050 would be available to be inserted in Senate Bill 266. As you know, Senate Bill 266 is on our agenda for today, so we may want to delete in the dash 7 amendments everything on page 2 from line 3 down. If you decide that...
Well, I think we're going to use a live vehicle, which is 260.
All right. If I suppose that the council can do... Well, there wouldn't be any conflict. They'd just have it in two different laws, in two different bills, 260 and 266.
Representative Jones?
Mr. Chairman, could we show... Is this going to be on the health of the...
Yeah. Yep. That's where the clinical social workers are, right? Yeah.
That's correct.
And that other bill, that terrible bill, that's been signed.
And this last amendment here.
The last amendment?
Yeah, which?
Was proposed by the Health Division. Oh, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is that, that doesn't commingle with their other funds and so on. This fund is, doesn't appear to be set up just to apply to these, to this particular board.
The amendment proposed by the Health Division is more in line with the other licensing boards that are within the Health Division. They're separate accounts as far as the accounting records go. All these licensing boards, and there are 16 of them, have their funds commingled, so to speak, in the Health Division's cash account in the general fund. I believe it was just kind of a technical change for bookkeeping ease and ease of administration to make the Board of Licensed Professional Counselors the same as other licensing boards, and that's why the Health Division amendments were drafted. Well, the counselors may want to speak to that.
Right. We want to tighten that.
There's protection in there for that.
We will ensure that there is. Okay, well, I don't know. Do we need to spend any more time in the public hearing phase of this bill? Is there anybody who has a burning desire to testify on it? If not, then I'll close the public hearing, open a work session on Senate Bill 260.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hannon.
I would move the dash 6 amendments and the dash 7 amendments, and then the other one identified as Health Division amendments dated 6/18/87.
Okay, Senator Hannon moves that Senate Bill 260 be amended with the amendments dated 6/16/6, 6/18/7, and amendments dated 6/18 identified as Health Division, and we want to make sure that that's reviewed once more, that there would be
protection
against the dollars moving from this account and for these purposes. Objections to Senator Hannon's motion? Hearing none, that's adopted. Did you want to discuss reciprocity, or could we do that in this vehicle?
the next one, 266.
Okay. Then, so, Senator Hannon moves amended Senate Bill 260 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Objections? Hearing none? So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are you interested in 266?
I think they've got me on jobs over there.
Fine. Back. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time, Representative Van Vliet. Thank you. So, Representative Van Vliet, would you carry this to the full board?
I'd be very glad to.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So we can have a, what do we do?
Well, one
isn't very important.
And one is psychologist.
I think I'd rather, relating to Senate Bill 266, have you had an opportunity to visit Legislative Council and have them prepare amendments?
Jet has it already.
The only concern about 266 is that one wants to be relatively sure that 260 is in good shape, or else this puts a whole lot of people out of business, you see. So what we could do is we could go ahead and take action on this bill, and then you might understand, Senator Hannon, if I kept it a few hours or a meeting away from 260 so that I had some confidence it was moving.
That'd be fun.
Okay. Well, then we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 266. So, was there somebody who wanted to testify on this bill I opened a public hearing on?
There should be.
Identify yourself for the record. State briefly the purpose of the bill.
I'm Elliot Weiner. I'm the executive director of the Oregon Psychological Association and a clinical psychologist in Portland, Oregon. OPA is one of the sponsors, along with the Oregon Academy of Professional Psychologists, of 266, which for the first time would regulate the delivery of mental health services. We phrase it the practice of clinical or counseling psychology. Right now, it's possible for anyone, even with 260 passes, to deliver mental health services as long as they don't use one of the registered titles in the state, like psychologist, psychiatrist, social worker, mental health counselor. If in 260, yet there is no restriction on the service delivery for funds. And 266 goes after that and says that's not in the consumer's best interest. And that's why we ask the committee's support for that bill.
Good.
And we understand that it goes in tandem with 260.
Yes.
I think Bonnie Wilson from the psychology board would like to testify
on the issue. Oh, we have an opponent. No? A proponent. Well, are you going to confuse us or what?
Mr. Chair, for members of the committee, I'm Bonnie Wilson, and I'm the executive secretary for the Board of Psychologist Examiners. I'm just here to tell you that the board believes that this Senate bill has a fiscal impact on the operation of the board and would like to have some sort of official note of that and have the board's budget adjusted accordingly.
Have you looked at that issue, Jack?
I have looked at that issue. What, as Mr. Weiner has pointed out, this increases the scope of who the psychologist examining board would regulate significantly. They, of course, only receive fees from licensed psychologists. This bill would require them to investigate complaints against people who use the practice of psychology or psychological principles, something to that effect. The board currently uses board members to investigate complaints against psychologists, and as I said, they get fees from those licensed psychologists which support that activity. They believe that under this bill, and they've given me evidence of that, that they would no longer be able to use the board to perform these investigations of complaints, and that they would have to contract for services, investigative services. They feel that this will increase their, this would, in their opinion, increase their expenditures required for either hiring contract services or additional staff. They pointed out that one investigation against a psychologist cost $40,000 in the past. Obviously, they don't have this kind of money. And in the past, the psychologist board has come to the general fund for a loan for just such a situation. So what we're looking at here is if the workload is increased as significantly as the board believes, they are either going to have to raise their fees substantially or curtail their investigations of these non-licensed psychologists.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hannon.
What is the current fee under the psychologist? And under this bill, how much would you be possibly projecting to increase that fee?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hannon, the current fee for renewal is $100. I believe that the board has, we haven't really, you know, thought through, because it's difficult right now to project, but at least a doubling fees for an annual renewal fee.
Well, do you want the bill or not?
We would obviously take whatever direction you pointed us in.
Come on, you coming with a problem? You've been talking about it amongst yourself. You haven't worked it out.
Well, the psychologists have not expressed opposition to an increase in fees to take care of the enforcement of the act.
What's their authority for fees? So they can do it with legislative review, agency approval. Is that how it works?
Correct.
Well, do you want to think about it some more and come back to the e-board on this?
Well, the proposed amendment that I saw today would put this into effect in July 1, 88.
That's right. There are two proposed amendments to the B-engrossed 266.
We have dash 9s here. That doesn't do what you're talking about.
This is January 1st, 88.
This is a 616. I was under the impression that this was out being copied for the committee as we were waiting for the commerce issues to be discussed.
Did I receive copies of that?
Did Diana give you?
No. Well, what is wrong with the idea of amending this bill like Senator Hannon wants and what's before us, and you kind of coming back into the emergency board when you've got your act together? How's that? Any problem with that?
The board doesn't have any problem. It just wanted to have the money that it would take. Right now, the board is staffed by a half-time executive secretary and a quarter-time clerical assistant. That will not allow the board to carry out this statute.
If the amendments put it into January 8, like you say, they can return to the emergency board.
And yes, okay.
Action.
Fine.
266.
Okay. Senator Hannon has an amendment he wants to make.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and for those who are out in the audience, I have a request to put an amendment on here. It's an issue that appeared before the Senate Human Resources in the form of Senate Bill 737. It deals with reciprocity. And I think that many times we have people who come in here and like to have exclusive rights established by the legislature, and then under the umbrella government, well, you can come in and operate, providing you meet our criteria. What this would do is still allow the board to establish through their rules the ability, as long as that person met the criteria established by the board, to apply to the board after or on or before January 1st, 1988. Then the board would adopt rules for the licensing of clinical psychologists who meet the requirements of this section that we're amending. And, Mr. Chairman, mm-hmm. I think that it still gives the board the discretion, the ability to adopt the rules as you see fit, but I feel it's time that we recognize there are other people in the world that exist besides those that just live in Oregon.
Board or proponents have any problem with that friendly mm-hmm. amendment? And that's contained in
dash 9.
Golly, golly. Okay. Right. Okay. So, anybody else want to speak in the public hearing on Senate Bill 266? Then we'll go to a work session on Senate Bill 266 as we close the public hearing simultaneously.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hannon.
I'd like to move that the committee adopt the amendments to Senate Bill 266-9, dated 6/18/87.
Senator Hannon moves the dash 9 amendments dated 6/18/87 to Senate Bill 266. Objection, hearing none. So ordered. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I do that? No, I think I did that right. Then the chair moves the dash 8 amendments dated 6/16/87, which postpones the effective date of the act so that we have an opportunity for them to establish the fees and come to the emergency board. Objections to that? Hearing none. So ordered. Senator Hannon.
Were there any other amendments which the psychologist, is Diana Godwin here? Or is the dash 8 encompass all that she wanted to do?
The dash 8 encompasses two amendments. One, restoring an exemption which was left out of the bill for contract agencies who can still practice psychology, and the other is the delaying the effective date to July 88.
Oh. All right, there was a... Okay. There was a dash 5 amendments, and I didn't know whether or not everything included in that didn't appear to be in the dash 8.
What is it?
Mr. Chairman, it would help me to hear the dash 5 amendments. All right. Is it 260?
Oh. Wrong bill.
Sorry.
Okay. Senator Hannon moves Senate Bill 266 is amended by the subcommittee to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Objections? Hearing none. So ordered. Well, as I look at the range, we got 5 off. We're doing good. Less than an hour. What would be fun to hear? What analyst is available? Joan is in here waiting. Let's do a little surface mining. Open, it can't be. It has to be a public a work session on House Bill 2039.
Oh. We'll hold the bill and sign it. We'll sign it. We'll bring it.
Mike? Senator Hannon.
Are we going to deal with the boxing bill too?
I can't say for sure. It's on the agenda, but it's at the bottom of the agenda, and of course we're subject to call. I'm subject to call on a salary subcommittee.
Or a vote on hard to sell. Or maybe you believe the listed Oregon there is having one of the shambles.
Well, we're going to send that bill out.
And when I realize that...
We should do it. You're right, and we will do it. We may even do it today because we're moving very well.
Hey, Carmen.
Okay, Ms. Webbins can explain this in such a way that we can move on it very rapidly indeed. If there's quiet in the room.
House Bill 2039 proposes an increase in the surface mining permit fees in two areas. To increase the initial application fee from $415 to $535, and the annual renewal permit fee from $315 to $385. Members have a fiscal impact that I did. I based that on 550 sites that are currently being mined, and they project that the turnover is about 48 sites. So the initial site fee revenue would be based on about 48 sites. The intent is that the agency will return to the emergency board and request funding or operating expenditure limitation for a field inspector that we reduced in the budget when we worked it a couple months ago because there wasn't revenue to balance the budget and retain that one field inspector. They will have to return to the emergency board and present a program and a budget for approval before they can spend any of these fees that they receive.
Representative Jones.
Joan, the effective date of this position is that isn't going to happen until, say, January 1.
Of the hiring of the field inspector, Representative Jones? That would be...
At least that's what was anticipated. And is this based on 18 months or 24, the need?
The need is based on a 24-month salary, or the impact that I gave you is based on 24 months.
But they don't actually need 18, right?
It would be most likely if they return to the August emergency board, which would be the soonest to get the limitation approval, then they would have, I believe, 2 month interview lag. It's going to be October at the very earliest before they could hire. So I would say 18 to 20 months would be the amount of salary that they would need.
This is a pretty substantial increase. I'm not disagreeing with the need for it. I'd just like to give them a tighter.
Well, the point is they don't have to go to the top, do they, initially?
They
go ahead and identify yourself and say no for the record.
Mr. Chairman, Don Hall, state geologist, no.
Mr. Engstrom, we talked about this, and I believe we had an agreement that you would ask, you would trust the analyst's findings.
Yes, that's true.
And so, analyst is recommending that we allow that statutory cap to rise to $385. And is that acceptable?
Yes, it is. Our goal is too. We think we need the position. We want the increase to be the minimum, you know, just because of the economic conditions. And that's why Joan was asked to look at it when she came up with it. We said that we would be all right.
Okay, that's the statutory lid. That this action will not constitute legislative approval beyond what we've already approved when we visited the budget last. And we looked at the gold mining question and could not find enough gold in those mines to keep this fee down. Anything else need to be said about this?
Mr. Chairman, in response to Representative Jones, I did look at the issue of the time of the amount of salary that we would need. And there is about 3 months slack there. One of the things, if you remember when we worked the budget, we did reduce the overhead from the mine reclamation program, that transfer of money that went into their support services. It cut into their publication and some of their support costs a little bit. I'm a little bit hesitant to run their ending fund balance too close.
If it's a permanent solution, it is a big deal.
So what there is there's already a position in the budget as it left.
Yes.
This will increase
in
a permanent position. Yes, we didn't touch that. We had agreement that if there was revenue somewhere longer, they could do it. They're locked into an e-board review when they have the program well defined. And then there will be some amount approved, likely, by that body in order to carry out the act.
The actual amount will be specified.
That's a question, Mr. Chairman. I haven't had time to study it. Is there an established fee in here for the mines?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Jones.
Well, you're going to get to that, but you were.
No, the statutory fee is for aggregate mines is set in statute.
No, I don't mean aggregate mines. I mean gold mines.
The gold question.
It's my understanding, not having been in this field very long, that the mine reclamation program of metal mines or non-aggregate mines is based upon the cost to investigate and to reclaim those mines. So there is further statutory authority. They pay their fee just like everyone else, and beyond that, the department has the authority to recover any more costs that are needed for a gold mine.
I guess another question there, and I could ask Mr. Hull this, or whoever. is there an ongoing reclamation deal on a gold mine, or do you leave them alone until they take all the gold out and then and drive away, and then you have to fill the hole back up or smooth it off or whatever? Or do you work at it all the time? Or you do force them to?
Mr. Chairman, with gold mines, as with aggregate mines, we work with the operator up front at the time of permit application and approve a reclamation plan which the operator would follow and implement upon mine closure.
And they can charge you can charge for that, is that?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
Yes.
Well, that's what it's trying to get the fee now, is what?
It's the amount of the cost of the operations.
Give us an example. What's it going to cost my mine in Lake County?
Mr. Chairman, a best guess, keeping in mind that we haven't finished our activities on that particular site in this year, would be approximately $2,500 based on the actual cost.
An annual fee or just a for one?
That's
time?
To get started, and I can't predict what will happen next year because we don't know what's being proposed next year.
Mr. Chairman,
mm-hmm.
Representative Jones. To add to that, the House Bill 2039 does have provides for three new, maybe we'll call it monitoring. There is an additional $100 fee that the department can charge if they do inspections on mines that are really in violation of the law. If they've been abandoned, someone has done surface mining and hasn't had a permit to do it. So that is another additional source of revenue. However, when I talked with the agency, they felt like it would not generate very much.
That's to finance cleanup, so
right.
Somebody's gone.
Right.
Really talking about
You're
that.
Talking about operation.
Thank you.
Do we need to amend?
No, I don't. I believe fiscal is saying we don't need to amend it.
Just send it out.
Senator Cannon moves that House Bill 2039 be reported to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Objections? Hearing none. So ordered. Senator Cannon to the carrying committee. Representative Agron's on the floor. Thank you. We will then. I sure would like to deal with the ORTDC. For the final time.
Well,
yeah, Ken. I think Kay went looking for Ken.
Oh, okay.
She did. Oh, we've got six out, and we've got six to go.
Yeah.
We have plenty of
time. I got some veterinary time.
Good, we'll do that next. After the review of the RDA,
too. Is your to that bus is conditional? We need to go to the veterinary to get my shots and get the ring.
That's right.
Then I'll become a pathologist.
Good. I know, sir. I got clients for you.
Clean most of the people out, too. That's good.
Like getting that first one done.
Yeah.
We
board. So we are now opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 282. This is relating to the Oregon Resource and Technology Development Corporation. It has been through the Trade and Economic Development Committee twice. It was inside of a motion that was connected to House Bill 5005, which is a budget for the ORTDC. And so the budget was all hung up until we got our hands on this little bill, which we now have. We were going to amend this little bill. Mr. Jones will describe our plans.
Mr. Chairman, the concern I think that was expressed was primarily dealing with the sunset provisions